Luke 16. Reading the parable about Lazarus, the rich man, and Lazarus. And we studied, we studied where he said he was full of sores. All right. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. The word for crumbs here, it's a word, another word I can't pronounce, but it doesn't just mean the crumbs, it means the smallest of the crumbs. And the idea is that the dogs ate the bigger crumbs, or bigger scraps. And then the dogs came and licked his sores. I want to spend a minute on dogs because it's all over the place in the scriptures. It's kuon is the word, and it means dog. But it's a metaphor for an impure mind. And so, let's look at some of those. Let's look at Matthew 7. You gonna live? Verse 6 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn again and rend you. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. It originally meant the idea of in certain cultures there were temple prostitutes, both men and women, and the dogs became the word for the temple prostitutes. And then it was expanded, or maybe clarified, to mean prostitutes were those of an unclean or impure mind. And the idea that the mind was always let's just talk about that. From God's standpoint, what is an impure mind? Well, it's even more basic. It's the mind that is the fruit of the fall. So it's the mind of all men. And that's why it's critical that you have the mind of Christ, because otherwise your mind is automatically is impure. Yeah, but it started out from as a sexual thing, the prostitutes, and then it expanded to someone that's always consumed with sexual thoughts in their mind. But it's all the basis of it came because of the mind that needed self-realization. It's when we studied this a long time ago, and we were talking about the groves, which are the sexual issues of your mind. You remember we. I can't remember. I don't. I just said remember, then I couldn't remember. Your mind or your being, your essence, sees separation as death, and sees sex as life, and that's the basis of all of the things that we studied about the groves when we were doing the high place identities. And so when you're afraid of death or separation or basically feel and have felt alone, then this the idea of being consumed with sex is the fruit of that. Does that make sense to you? Now, obviously it's degrees of that happens, because everybody at some point or another has sexual fantasies. But when they start being that which consumes you, then it's this fear of separation or fear of death. And that's the mind here that it's talking about, is the impure mind. That's the fundamental basis of the impurity. Does that communicate?
Yeah. I got a little dog in me.
Do what?
I got a little dog in me.
Well, it doesn't matter whether the dog is big or little. So what's the response to that? The response is ever and always repentance. And this isn't an easy one. This is a this is one of those, well, I'm not doing it now things. Don't give that which is holy to dogs. Neither cast your pearls before the swine. Yeah, and that's why, you know, we've talked about it many times. That which you are consciously against, you're subconsciously subject to. We've seen so many of the preachers that are rampant against homosexuality, turns out that they have so homosexual affairs, which is just, you know, it's hard, but it's. That's why it's dangerous to be against something. But this whole thing about, and that mind, the mind that is not renewed, the mind which is essentially active, is corrupt. There's no getting around it. You can't. It's what the word for ungodly is. It means wrong thinking. And well, let's look at some more. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. Grievous. I want to always say grievous. Grievous. But for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. So again, beware of dogs. And mostly it's talking about dogs in the community. I'm not talking about dogs outside, but beware of dogs. Now, beware doesn't mean to be afraid. It means to be aware of. Well, it describes the act where you, in your attempt for self-redemption, you either cut yourself or you purposefully do suffer, you enter into pain just so you can. The real one is in the Muslim group that takes these chain thingies and beat themselves on the back. That's concision.
And the penitent. Hmm? The
penitentes,
the Catholic.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll whip themselves.
I don't know. Catholics did it, but Muslims do it.
Yeah, Catholics.
Catholics do it too?
Yeah, some.
Well, that's what concision is. But on a deeper level, concision is guilt.
I just think in the concision is self-inflicted pain for personal redemption from your sin, as opposed to seeing Christ and accepting Him, what He did for that sin. Yeah. So it's kind of like ultimate self-seeking in a way, not seeking God, though you do it under the cover of religion.
Well, it's more subtle too. It's when there is guilt that is not, that stays. Guilt, it, how can I say this? There's this thing that happens if you have guilt, and it's probably happened to all of us, more or less, but it's when you unconsciously sabotage yourself. And it comes because there's something in you that believes you're not suitable, or you can't be successful. So you sabotage yourself. I see this all the time. But that's concision. It's any kind of self-redemption is concision. Everybody know, understand that? That's what the silver is, if you remember, in all of in the tabernacle in the wilderness, all of the rods that went into the earth, they had to have a silver, a base on the rod, so that you buried self, you buried the whole idea of self-redemption. Anybody know, anybody have any experience for self-redemption? Oh, I don't want to embarrass people this morning, so I'll just shut up. Let's go to 2 Peter. Maybe I'm becoming nicer and I don't want to embarrass anybody.
Yes, sometimes I do it when I overcompensate. Sometimes if I know I've done something wrong to someone, on occasion I can almost overcompensate.
Christ, and try and be our own Christ.
Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Start in verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and mighty and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are these. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. These that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage or in bondage. For after that they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle therein, and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. For it is better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow was washed in her wallowing is in the mire. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. These are all people. This is not Gentiles. These are people who have named the name of Christ for their lives. And that gives all of those things, but it ends with dogs and pigs. All right, one more, Revelation 22. Verse 11. He saith in verse 10, he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. All right, that's never about dogs. Let's go back to Luke 16. Anybody have any thoughts about all this so far?
Those are strong words. That's my thoughts about it. No doubt I'm a dog.
I didn't hear you.
No doubt I'm a dog.
Verse 22 in Luke 16. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Remember, every time it says came to pass or come to pass, it's an attention that something extraordinary is being discussed. If it's good, it's very, very good. If it's bad, it's very, very bad. So it's like this is something to heed. Now, it doesn't say anything here about repentance in terms of the beggar. But I want you to imagine this beggar's life. He couldn't have that life where he was eating the crumbs and the dogs licking his sores, having to be carried to the place. There had to be some action that something happened that caused him to see. Anyway, this thing about Abraham's bosom, I want to spend some time on it because first of all, bosom is the part of the upper chest. In a woman, it includes her breast, and a man, it's just the upper chest. But in their inner garment, there was a pocket, a wide pocket that went across their chest, and it was fairly deep. And it's where they carried their valuables, their wallet or whatever, their papers or whatever, in that place. And so when it talks about being in Abraham's bosom, it's much more than just his head on his chest or something. It means what it means spiritually, he was carried. I just lost it. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He was into the bosom. And that means that he was somehow that chest garment of Abraham was covering him. It's the same as let's go back. Let's look at John 1. Well, let's just start where. Let's start in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Now, he's in the bosom of his Father, so it's a huge deal, this word bosom. Every time we've studied it a lot, but every time we celebrate Passover, in the original Seder with Christ and the disciples, John was the youngest, and his head was resting on the bosom of Christ. Christ's head was resting on the bosom of Judas. Then we identified them all around the table. But that being, John being in the bosom meant, that Seder was symbolic of this no space of eternity, being in the bosom of Christ. And so, it's much more than just lying on, you know. Remember, we've talked before about when a sheep was more like a goat in that he ran away all the time, et cetera, et cetera. Then the shepherd broke his front leg and then carried him in his bosom until he was healed, and he felt the heart of the shepherd. Well, that's what God wants from us, to be in that bosom where we feel the heartbeat of God. And that intimacy it trumps everything. It's really what your first love is that intimacy. And it happens no matter what. That intimacy remains no matter what is going on around you. But the wild thing to me is that Christ's head was in the bosom of what man has considered the worst sinner, the man who sold out Christ in the world. Anyhow, we don't have time, but there's a bunch more about bosom I want to talk about. But he was taken to Abraham's bosom. Into Abraham's bosom. All right? Anybody have any response to any of that? We Everybody understands perfectly. Take it, big guy.